Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
The Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And yet we typically come into church and, oh God, we ask you to come and be with us tonight. Oh God, just come. Oh God, send forth your power. You know what that is? Unbelief. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Some of you are thought, what's wrong with that? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Where two or three are gathered together, I'm in your midst. And you're asking him to do what he said he's already done. You know why you're begging God to come? Because you don't believe he's here, because you haven't felt a goosebump. Nobody's run the aisles. Nobody's screamed and shouted, fallen on the floor and bounced on the floor. And because you haven't seen anything, well, then God must not be here. No, he's here. It just means that you're carnal. And you can't believe that there's anything going on that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. And so if you can't see it in the physical, then you just don't believe that the spiritual realm exists. And you don't believe that God's done anything. But he's here. And faith is the ability to see what you can't see. Faith is the ability to see what's in the spirit realm instead of in the physical realm. Faith is when you say, Father, I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. I just got a bad report. I feel bad, as a matter of fact. But you know what? I know that the Word says that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know you're here. I know I've got the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And I am refusing to give in to what I feel. I give in to what I believe. And I thank you that this resurrection power is now being released. And what you do is start releasing what God has already provided. That'll work every time. But for you to try and get God to do something like, God, why haven't you healed? God, don't you love this person? All of those are criticisms of God that are totally invalid and expressing your unbelief, not faith. And oh God, stretch forth your hand. Oh God, come and move. Oh God, send revival, as if it was up to God whether we get revival. That usually goes over about like that. Man, I've been praying for revival for 20 years. How much good has it done? Body of Christ has spent more time praying for revival. They've had millions of people pray for revival, and things are getting worse. And if you don't think they're getting worse, you just need to pull your head out of the sand and look at the news someday and see what's happening. There's some bad things going on in our world. We aren't in the midst of revival. It's not up to God to send revival. If it was up to God, and if we could beg and plead and twist His arm and make it happen, it would have happened. You know, the truth is, God has already sent revival. On the day of Pentecost, He poured out His Spirit and He said, this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God never has taken back His Spirit. He's never turned off the spigot. God hasn't quit sending His power. You know what? The problem is that anointing is now in us. And it's us that have the spigot cut off. And we're asking God to, oh, save these people. Pour out your spirit. Let people be responsive. That's not going to come from the outside. That power is on the inside of you. If you want to see revival, start believing that God has given it to you. Appropriate it. Release it. Raise somebody from the dead and you'll have all the revival you can handle. It's absolutely true. That's the way that revival happened in the Bible. They would go in and they would see people healed and miracles happen and the whole city would turn to the Lord. We're just praying in our prayer closet. You wouldn't dare talk to your neighbor if your life depended on it because they might criticize you and cause you a fanatic. And so lest anybody be embarrassed and lest anything bad happen, you just go and spend hours praying that God saves your neighbor, but you aren't sowing any seed. You wouldn't talk to them. That's a cop-out. That's not the way that it works. The Lord told you to go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. He didn't tell you to pray for the sick. Now, there's examples of people praying for the sick, but the only commands in the New Testament, He says, go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead. That's God's will. He told you to do it. God has put His power on the inside of you. By grace, we are all full of God if you've been born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit. God's power is on the inside of you, and it's not God's turn to go cause revival. It's us that causes revival by going out and speaking the word and releasing the power of God. You will do more to occasion revival by getting fired up, find out who you are, go out and tell the truth, speak the truth to somebody. People's lives will be changed, and you'll have more revival than you'll ever get by staying on your knees and begging God to do what He told you to do. I know people don't like that, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Brothers and sisters, God told us to heal the sick. We're saying, oh God, pour out your power and start healing the sick. He told you to heal the sick. It's not your power. It's God's power. But it's in you by grace, and you by faith release what God has already provided. To me, this revolutionized my life when I saw these things, because you know what? It taught me, instead of me begging God, no God, please heal this person. God, by grace, has already healed every person that will ever be healed. There has never been a sickness. There's not a cold, a hangnail, the slightest thing up to the worst thing that has ever hit any individual member of the body of Christ that Jesus hasn't already borne and paid for that. Before anybody who's alive today that has any sickness, before they were ever born, God had already healed them of all of those diseases. And He had put that healing power on the inside of them once they get born again. You've already got it done. You don't have to ask God to heal you. Some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen, I never asked God to heal anybody. I just took authority and commanded and spoke and saw my son raised from the dead, seen other people raised from the dead, seen blind eyes open without ever asking God to heal. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, Peter and John were going into the temple and they saw this man who was lame. Excuse me, not the second chapter, the third chapter of the book of Acts. And they saw this man who was lame from his mother's womb. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they reached down and grabbed the man by the hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle received strength. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. They said, such as I have. Did you know they'd get kicked out of nearly any church in Houston for saying that? People say, oh, you don't have any power. It's all God. Well, sure, it's God, but it's in you. It's already been done. Grace, it's already accomplished, and He put raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And the truth is, you do have it. They didn't pray and ask God to heal. They said, such as I have, give I unto you. And they took charge and they commanded it to come forth. The body of Christ, see, is basically begging God to please heal when the Bible says He's already done it. By His stripes, you're already healed. He's already generated the power. He put this power on the inside of you, and it's your faith that activates what God has already done. And once you see that it's already done, then you don't struggle to wonder, oh God, will you back me up? Will you do it? He's already done it. How can you doubt that He'll do what He's already done? It takes all the struggle out of it. You've already got it. I've got a teaching out there, a book and CDs and DVDs entitled, You've Already Got It, So Quit Trying to Get It. You've already got it. God's already given you everything. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all, or excuse me, I guess that's verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God has already given us everything. Now all we need is a renewed mind to release and to draw out what God has already placed on the inside of us. It's like having a well. And in this well, you got life-giving water. Could you imagine a person sitting at the mouth of that well and praying, "Oh God, please give me something to drink. I'm dying of thirst. Oh God, please give me water." And the water's right there, but they won't draw it out. They're just waiting on God to put it in their mouth, to drown them in it, to let it fall out of heaven. And the truth is, they got this well and they never use it. That would be foolish. This is what the body of Christ is doing. We already have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. We already have all knowledge, is what it says. So many different places. John chapter 2, verse 20, that you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You don't know all things up here in your little peanut brain, but in your spirit we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. We know all things. We've got the life of God living on the inside of us. Jesus is in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. And on, all of these things. And yet we're saying, "Oh God, please come." If God could be confused, I believe He'd be confused, like saying, "I know I promised them somewhere in there that I'd never leave them nor forsake. And yet they're asking me to come. Don't they believe? Didn't they hear that? Didn't they hear the scripture that says, 'Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world.'" And we say, "Lord, just go with us as we leave this place." What a stupid prayer. Stupid prayer. Stupid prayer. Dumb to the second power. Dumb. "God, come. God, don't go. Go with me. Take not your Holy Spirit." "Oh God, heal me," when He says, "By my stripes you were healed." "Oh God, bless me," when He says, "You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 1:3. You know, if God could be confused, I believe He'd be scratching His head saying, "What do they want? Don't they, you know, read the book." I know I said it in here someplace that you've already got these things. Again, I'm not sure that all of you understand how radical some of the things I'm saying are. But this is just like in the opposite direction from most Christians' experience.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-159 titled "Who's Responsible" when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you are relating to what I'm saying, that you're beginning to understand that the way our hearts are towards God is not the way that He intended it to be, that there needs to be a change. And many of you are just benefiting from this and see how that everybody needs to hear this. You know, I'm reaching as far with the gospel as I possibly can. Our media buyer just recently told us that we now reach 2.2 billion people, potential. But you know, of course, we need multiple broadcasts to be able to saturate those markets. And there's a lot of people that haven't yet heard these truths. I'm asking those of you who've been blessed by this program to help us financially to become a partner so that we can reach out and touch more people. Please call and become a partner today.